Classy Ring Attire presents the WrestleManias. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy with WrestleMania 4.
Yeah,
Ivy.
I wasn't expecting a whole lot out of this one, but I was kind of okay with it. It felt long. It was the longer...
It was. It's the longest one we've watched so far.
Right. A lot of matches.
There were 16 matches, yeah. Which is the most any WrestleMania to date has had.
Yeah.
So before or after this.
That is a record I do not think will be broken anytime soon.
Not unless they make an active choice to break it.
Yeah.
You know, they could do that where they have like a string of 5-minute matches for whatever gimmicky reason.
Right.
But yeah, if naturally...
But nowadays we have too many like in between stuff like promos or commercials or like... Because what we've noticed with these WrestleManias, there's essentially no commercials or anything between matches.
Right. Well, they don't have...
There's no advertising.
They're not advertising for the latest DVD compilation.
Right.
The way that they do now.
Right. There's a lot more other stuff that goes on during the show now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With natural feud building and stuff the way it's done today, no, we will not get a WrestleMania to have more matches than this one.
Right.
WrestleMania 4 took place on March 27th, 1988 at Trump Plaza in Atlantic City.
We've actually reached the point where one of us is actually alive during this point. Mm-hmm. I am a month old.
All right.
So, there's that.
Chris, who really cares way too much about the way that the setup for WrestleMania is, the stage, et cetera, what
yeah.
do you think about this one?
And
in comparison to last year, I guess.
I mean, well, okay. It wasn't bad. It's a lot closer to the fans than they've,
mm-hmm.
than they've been, especially last year. The aisle is very narrow, and it's like it's down an incline.
Yeah,
which was interesting from when Ultimate Warrior came out. I really thought he was going to trip and fall on his face.
Yeah,
it was fine. It's 80s. So
all right.
I mean,
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No, I mean I didn't hate it, but it felt a little. A step backwards in grandiose.
Right. Well, I mean, everything about this one felt like a step back as far as grandiose. Like, 3 was just this ginormous monster of an event.
Well, but...
And a ginormous monster of a venue.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about 3 and the, you know, pinnacle of this era of wrestling stuff that mm-hmm. is perfect stuff happening at the perfect time.
Right.
These two people have collided, you know, and this... feud has just built to this naturally to this perfect point. Stuff like the ramp can be controlled.
Yes.
So, you know, that is something that it feels like they took a step backwards on.
Right.
And yeah, maybe it's because the venue, Atlantic City, just did not allow for what they had at WrestleMania 3. But...
Right. I mean, it was a very... It's a very significantly smaller venue.
Mm-hmm. It felt like, oh, now...
Like almost any other venue would.
Yes.
You know.
It didn't feel as big of a deal.
Yeah.
We should also mention that there was basically a night-long gimmick.
Yeah.
The championship at the time was not held by anyone.
Yep.
Due to stripping of the championship and screw job problems that had happened between last WrestleMania and this WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So, WrestleMania 4 is a event-long tournament that leads to
mm-hmm.
an eventual...
Which was I think it was a good idea for them at the time.
Yeah. No, I do too. I think it was a really interesting way to make, you know, as we said, you need to continually try and make your events bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a good way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't begrudge them to do that. I don't, you know, think it was a bad idea. I don't even think it was poorly executed.
Yeah.
Like, I think it came off pretty well the way they wanted it to. I don't think it's something that would work today at all.
Yeah, I mean, we get King of the Ring every now and then.
Yeah, well, I think the King of the Ring is part of the reason.
But it's
kind of under
Raw, yeah.
It's kind of undermined
yeah.
the chance for tournament stuff like that. The first match of the night,
yep.
Is a 20-man battle royale.
Yeah.
with
a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, had the Heart Foundation in it.
Mm-hmm. Had Junkyard Dog in it.
Junkyard Dog, Bad News Brown, Holly Race, the Killer Bees
were there. The Blue Man Group was there.
Wasn't the Blue Man Group?
What are they called?
Was it like
the Blues Brothers? That's what it is.
I don't know which is funnier.
Yeah.
The Blue Man Group or the Blues Brothers. Either way, they were way off because all they did was just... they wore blue trunks. That was it. They had blue trunks and they had their mullets. That was it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mullets in this one.
I mean, again, it's the 80s.
I know, but there's a lot of mullets in this WrestleMania.
There's a lot of mullets in this WrestleMania.
There's not really a whole lot of reason for this.
A giant trophy.
Yeah, that was a 7-foot-tall trophy for right. the winner. But, I mean, it was a thing where I was kind of like, we have, you know, we're going to be having a lot of matches, and so a lot of them mean something. This one kind of doesn't. But at the same time, a lot of the matches coming up on the card are going to use the same guys over and over again, so
yeah,
this was a chance to get Junkyard Dog and Heart Foundation, et cetera, on the card
mm-hmm.
in a way that they normally wouldn't, yep. wouldn't have otherwise. But Bad News Brown wins by eliminating Bret Hart.
Second year in a row? No, it wasn't second year in a row.
It's the second time though right. that Bret Hart.
Last one was WrestleMania 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, second time Bret Hart has been the second person left. And then in a 20-man battle royale. And then we start our tournament off with Ted DiBiase. And he has Virgil and Andre the Giant in his corner. And
yeah.
he defeats Jim Duggan. Fine match.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Duggan was obviously the Santino of that era.
Yeah.
You know, just stomping around and yelling. Basically what he does now.
I mean, he was probably a little bit more formidable than Santino was.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, USA.
Mm-hmm. But it was a fine match.
Yeah, it was.
All things considered. Yeah. Throughout the kind of feud build-up to this, Ted DiBiase has kind of replaced Bobby Heenan
mm-hmm.
as the evil mastermind character.
Because the overall story here is that it's kind of Ted's mission to buy the WWF Championship.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
essentially using Andre to do so.
Yeah, which I think is fine because, you know, because Ted can go in the ring.
Yeah.
And even though Heenan does later tonight, Heenan's not that great of an in-ring performance. So, I think it's fine. A nice natural progression in storyline for Ted to be using Andre to further his means in this manner.
Yeah.
Next up is Don Morocco defeating Dino Bravo
mm-hmm.
With Billy Graham and French Martin, respectively, in their corners.
Yeah, Don Morocco won by disqualification.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was something like... was this the match where Dino did something to win?
If it's Dino doing something, it has to be this match because this is the only match he was in.
Okay, no, there was a, might be thinking of a later match of someone basically not having to win.
Oh, that was Ultimate Warrior.
That's right.
Yeah,
okay,
we'll get to Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
There was a lot of disqualification
yeah.
happening in this,
this overall pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, and it put a lot of holes in the tournament, but I guess that's how they got around with fitting the entire tournament with this many people into one night.
Yeah, and not having to have these people go up against quite so many people.
Right.
You know, kind of get that bye to give you some rest time, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so match 3, Greg Valentine versus Ricky Steamboat. With Greg Valentine winning cleanly. How do you feel about this, Chris?
It was all right. You know, after last WrestleMania with Steamboat, you're like, come on, can't you just keep them going in the tournament a little bit longer so we can see more than one match of Steamboat. Because of all pay-per-views, this is the one opportunity where we're like, we can see a guy wrestle four times in one night.
We do see a guy wrestle four times.
We do. I was kind of hoping for Steamboat. I mean, I was okay with who we got. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But the selfish side of me that's never watched this before was kind of one for Steamboat.
Well, I mean, here's the thing I genuinely don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Steamboat versus Savage match from WrestleMania 3. It got the reaction that it did.
Yeah.
And it's not that years later we look back on it and go, oh, that's this underrated gem that's truly this great. And like, it was that moment.
Yeah.
The match was over and they were talking about potentially greatest match that they've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a fantastic match that these two guys put on. Greg Valentine, who won this match, will go on later in this pay-per-view to face Randy Savage. So you have a setup there, very clearly, for Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage to get to have another match together.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious why they didn't do that.
I don't know, yeah. I mean, maybe there was something else that we didn't know that was going on. I don't know.
I don't know, and I don't have an answer
unless
for you.
Unless they didn't want to pit, you know, two faces against each other.
Yeah, and I mean, that would have happened in the middle.
Because, anyway, I don't want to, you know... Again, part of me was like, oh, I don't want to give anything away, but it was 1988, so yeah. Whatever. I don't... Because basically this pay-per-view seemed like a vehicle to elevate Savage.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they wanted
to... Oh, you didn't want to give away who wins the tournament?
Right.
Okay, I was like, what are you not giving away?
So I'm not so sure if they wanted to, you know, take anything away from that by putting Steamboat opposite, but I think Steamboat would elevate Savage even more on this night.
I mean, I think Randy Savage came off looking great last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like Steamboat carried that match.
No.
You know?
It built a lot for both guys, and I feel like, you know, the story that they're trying to tell, which they did a good job of telling, yeah, I won't take anything away from them on that. It just feels like they could have done more.
Mm-hmm.
Because even at the end, which we'll get to, you know, Savage was still kind of in Hulk Hogan's shadow still.
Yeah.
You know?
But
that comes later.
Yes. All right, next match. Where are we?
Randy Savage going up against Butch Reed. Savage accompanied by Miss Elizabeth, of course. And Butch Reed is accompanied by Slick.
Yes.
Savage felt like he won pretty easy. He had a really... That was one where he had a really good-looking elbow from the top rope.
From the top rope that I really
and
liked.
And Butch Reed completely no-sold it.
Yeah.
Laid there like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Randy Savage has three more matches after this, so yeah, he has to come off looking strong and ready to go, and
yeah,
this can't drag out too long.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get One Man Gang, again with Slick, taking on Bam Bam Bigelow, which is his first
WrestleMania appearance.
Mm-hmm. And he, you know, loses.
In less than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Pretty quick match.
But this was another one. It was done by count out, and it was really hard to.
Yeah, there was no communication there. Yeah. Like, we really had no idea who was getting counted out. Because at the time, it looked like One Man Gang was out of the ring much longer than Bam Bam. So,
right.
I was surprised by it, but.
We did not get that over the top 1-2 count thing.
Well, yeah. The ref just kind of counted and no one really paid attention. You know, that's another shift in kind of cultures. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's not as big of a deal, or I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's not something that I was looking for.
Right, yeah.
But the complaint there, for me at least, lies with, you know, the bell rang and they declared One Man Gang the victor and...
It wasn't
communicated as to mm-hmm. what he wanted.
There was no
won.
Replays. There were, you know, no one really talking about it. They announced it and they moved on.
Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Next up, we got Rick Rude accompanied by Bobby Heenan
and his tights.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
Going up against Jake Roberts, who is accompanied by his snake.
Yes.
It's not a euphemism. Yeah, as Joel alluded to, Rick Rude came out with these hideous, airbrushed?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, airbrushed
like
tights.
Like state fair airbrush.
Yeah. Well, of a woman's face right on his butt.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman, it made the woman look incredibly deformed.
Yeah.
And scary and hideous. It looked like there was a clown on his butt.
Oh, it was a bad choice.
It was a bad choice, but I really enjoyed this match.
Yeah?
It was a good match. It was the longest match of the night, and it didn't feel like it was that long.
It was the longest match of the night. I should point out, it's the longest WrestleMania match we've seen so far.
Right. And it's the only one that went the full time limit.
Yeah, if they fought to a time limit draw. Mm-hmm.
Which apparently in their thinking means they're both eliminated.
Yes. Neither one of them won, so I guess that's how a tournament works?
I guess.
It kind of defeats the purpose of it being a tournament, but, you know, if it was just a singles match, yeah, I kind of get that. That leads to a draw, but because it's a tournament situation, okay. That kind of doesn't make sense to me, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one thing I want to point out, that these guys had identical-looking mustaches and mullets at this time.
They did.
So I am very thankful for those atrocious, atrocious tights, because I could tell exactly who was fighting who.
Okay, I mean, there's really no way in the world I would ever be thankful for those tights. So you're on an island about this. So enjoy your time there.
No, I won't. That ends the first round.
Yes.
Of the tournament. And so they had the tournament, and then they would have a breakup match, a match that would break up the rounds.
Now we have the Ultimate Warrior, his first WrestleMania appearance, going up against Hercules, who's accompanied by Bobby Heenan. Ultimate Warrior won.
Mm-hmm.
Hercules
pinned Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
And hit a 3 count that was determined to be a 2 count that Ultimate Warrior had got up in time for.
Yes.
So he hits the 3/2 count.
So instead of continuing,
the bell rings.
Yeah.
They raise Hercules' arm, and they go, no, no, and then they raise Ultimate Warrior's arm.
Yeah, so basically, instead of continuing the match, saying, oh, he only got a 2 count, they instead essentially DQ'd Hercules and made Warrior the winner.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Is that like a weird rule? Like, okay, he didn't win, so since he didn't win, that means someone has to win, which can only be this other guy.
This is frustrating.
Yeah?
And this is frustrating throughout the whole night. It's something that really bothered me. And it bothered me, like, it was like this WrestleMania specifically, because I didn't really have this problem with 1-3.
Right.
But is the communication between the official referees and, you know, timekeepers, the officials, and me, the audience.
Yeah.
I had a hard time knowing who won and who lost and how they won and why they won.
Yeah.
And, you know, part of it is we're way overspoiled with replays now.
Yeah, you know,
we've gone too far in the other direction, but if somebody is disqualified for illegal, you know, use of something, I'm going to see it with 3 different angles in slow motion replay.
Yeah.
But I don't like this either, because it's very possible that something else happened there, that Ultimate Warrior somehow has legitimately won that match. But the way it came across is the way we described it, is that he won by not losing.
Yeah.
So basically,
the other guy lost by winning.
Poor Hercules, you know, has this loss on his record due to a bad call by a referee.
Yes, because he had such great potential beforehand.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
You know,
the same guy who last year, or at the last WrestleMania, thought he was the real Hercules.
I'm just saying, you know, Ultimate Warrior is going to go on to a main event at WrestleMania in like 2 years. That could have been Hulk Hogan versus Hercules. You don't know. You'll never know.
I'm pretty sure. I feel pretty confident at that. Because even before this match, Hercules got no reaction. Walter Warrior came out. Everyone went nuts whenever he came
running
down that.
Warrior did get a really good reaction.
Running down that very steep ramp.
Yeah. Speaking of Hulk Hogan, he's in our next match.
Yeah.
With Andre the Giant.
With more shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
This is the rematch.
Yeah, this is the original Twice in a Lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of, I mean, I don't know, I'm really...
It's one of those things, like, if that happened this day and age, no matter what, Hulk Hogan and Andre would have finished the show.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they stuck with the story of, you know, building this one guy through this tournament.
Yeah.
You know, granted, these Hogan and Andre were still involved at some in some capacity, but in a much more WrestleMania 1 type of way.
Yeah, and still getting the biggest reactions of the night. Like, Hogan is still clearly the most over man in this company.
Right.
But there's... I don't know. Like, storytelling-wise, I'm really conflicted about it, because last year's WrestleMania was so well orchestrated to this natural climax of this story.
Yeah.
And to have this happen in the middle, which is this showdown of, you know, these two ultimate powers from the last time, and then to have it kind of here, the build-up was kind of lackluster, it ends in a double disqualification, it just, it's not as, I don't want to say it diminishes what the match was at WrestleMania 3, because it clearly hasn't, because, you know, into talking about WrestleMania 3 all these years later, nobody puts a little asterisk of, yeah, but then they did that WrestleMania 4 thing, and, you know, is less impressive.
Right.
But it is this thing where, it was this giant, amazing, impressive thing that has been repeated, and is just not as giant or amazing as, or as impressive.
Right.
So.
And, again, weird logic going into the end of this match. Andre uses the chair first, I want to say.
No,
Hulk does.
Well, Ted DiBiase uses it first. On behalf of Andre.
Correct. Okay, there
Hulk
you go.
Hulk takes it, then Hulk uses it, and then Andre uses it.
Today's WWE, because the referee saw everything.
I think he saw all three chair
shots. He saw every chair shot.
Yeah.
And today's, you know, as soon as someone took out the chair, hit somebody else with it, that person is disqualified. Like, right there. This one, he waited...
If the story is supposed to end in disqualification. If not, then...
Well, I mean, they rarely ever say that.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
No, they either don't look at it, or it's a, you know, no holds barred.
Yeah. But instead, the guy waited until both guys got an opportunity with the chair, and then DQ'd both.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit of like, everything's confusing, and burn it all. We start anew from the ashes. Nobody wins this one.
Yeah.
So I felt like the aim of this was to say that this match was getting out of control. The referee couldn't handle it. It got out of hand away from him.
So the ref said everything will blaze.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything.
Fair enough.
Everything goes. But, you know, it's the 80s, and super good guy, you know, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, Hogan, used the chair.
Yeah.
Used the chair cleanly, intentionally, and got disqualified for it. Cheer.
Hooray. Hashtag not a face.
Hashtag not a face, man. And we'll get to that later, because I'm seriously about to have to complain about it.
Okay.
Later on. But first, we continue, I guess, because that was technically part of round two. We continue round two with Ted DiBiase defeating Don Morocco in a match.
Yeah.
Like, in a clean match.
Yeah.
It was...
Which was hard to come by.
Yeah.
Tonight, you know, so...
Clean match, clean win. Well-paced. Both guys came to play.
Yeah.
Looked good. The match is over. Well done.
Yeah, yeah. There was something going on with Billy Graham's cane, I remember.
Billy Graham brandished his cane, but he never used it.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, that was
okay.
The thing is, Ted DiBiase...
Yeah, there were so many canes in this event.
Yeah, there were a lot of canes. Mr. Fuji had a cane, Billy Graham had a cane.
Slick had a cane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Ted DiBiase, I think he got thrown out of the ring, and he was about... But Billy Graham, you know, raised his cane as if to say, you get back in that ring, I will not let you escape.
Okay.
But no, the cane was never actually used as a weapon.
Thank you for keeping track of the canage.
Thank you. Then Randy Savage comes back and defeats Greg Valentine in the match that could have had Ricky Steamboat in it.
Could have, but it was still a good match.
It was a really good match.
You know, it was a Savage match, and, you know, Greg Valentine held his own.
Yeah. Solid matchery, sirs.
Right. You know, it's one of those things where it's one of those nights where you don't have much to say about a straight up and down match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a night where we had so much DQs and calamity that you don't know, you know, which side is up.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and these are very much just furthering the plot. You have your, you know, new top heel and the guy you're building to be your top face just getting the other guys out of the way.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. But that ends round two, and so our breakup match is for the Intercontinental Championship between Brutus Beefcake and the Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah.
What you think?
I still don't like Honky Tonk.
I know you don't like Honky Tonk, but you like Brutus Beefcake. He is your favorite, right?
No. I can do without him, his fishnets, and his hedge clippers.
It's hard to remember what last year's Intercontinental Championship match was.
Really?
To remember that and then to watch this.
Oh, okay. I thought you couldn't remember it. I was like, just talking about it.
No, I'm saying that to watch that match versus this match. Yeah,
it's difficult to get through any other type of Intercontinental Championship anywhere near that time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it goes from Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Randy Savage to Brutus Beefcake and Honky Tonk.
Match of the night, probably match of the year, possibly match of the era.
And people want to say that now the Intercontinental Championship doesn't mean anything. Come on.
Okay, no, it still meant more back then.
It did, but come on. Come on.
I mean, it's not... It's only a year removed from...
Yeah, and Honky Tonk Man apparently got DQ'd. I don't even remember why. All I know is Brutus...
Didn't Jimmy Hart interfere?
All I know is Brutus cut Jimmy Hart's hair.
Yes.
That's all I remember.
No, it was very much a filler situation.
Yeah.
And then another filler situation where, with a six-man tag team, with the Islanders and Bobby Heenan taking on British Bulldogs and Coco Beware.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that comes out of this is Heenan got in the ring. Did not do bad. Like,
well, no.
I mean, he didn't do great, and he didn't pull out any stellar moves, but...
We were expecting gimmicky WWE in 2013 that where a guy like Heenan got the ring and made a complete fool of himself kind of thing. Like,
no, I was...
Like a Michael Cole
situation. I was thinking Michael Cole or Jerry Lawler kind of match here.
Yeah. But no, you know, he did fine, got out of the match as quick as he could every time, and
went in, did a spot, went out.
And then, you know, Islanders threw Heenan up in the air and onto one of the British Bulldogs. I can't remember which one. I think it was Dynamite Kid.
Yeah.
And got the pin. The only other thing I remember about this match is we were watching the version, I forgot whatever, this particular...
It's from the anthology.
From the anthology. And for some reason, something on the back of Coco Beware's trunks were blurred out. I couldn't make it out. It looked like it was a flag, maybe? I don't know.
We don't know.
I just thought it was odd, because every time I looked at him, every time he turned around,
there was a big blur. It's like the Scratch logo.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, you know, did he have a weird crack situation, or what?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. Like,
those a couple points where they blurred his entire butt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh God, what's happening? You know, whenever you see a blur, you're not exactly sure what is happening at that moment.
Don't know.
Yeah.
But then we start our semifinals with Randy Savage. Oh, yeah, there's one match in the semifinals.
Yeah, because...
due to the disqualification stuff.
So, it meant Ted DiBiase was automatically put into the finals.
Yeah, because he couldn't fight one of the Rick Rude or Jake the Snake.
No, it was because of... You're right.
I am right. Of course I'm right.
Okay, then.
So, Randy Savage defeats...
No, that was in the first round, though. That was the first round that Jake the Snake... This was because of Andre and Hogan, because they were automatically put in the second round.
You're right. So...
Unless I'm completely wrong.
No, I think you're right.
Okay.
So, Randy Savage defeats One Man Gang.
It was something to do with Slick's cane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was disqualification. It was another disqualification.
DQ, yeah. And yet, surprisingly, both men weren't eliminated by that DQ.
No.
Because why not at this point?
Yeah. And then our breakup match is...
it's a funny thing, though. Just a quick interjection here. Funny thing how, like, we got to the end of this one, and I was like, okay, I feel kind of good about it. And now when I hear about, like, now when we were talking about all the DQs and stuff, I was like, wow, this really was a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, nobody could follow the rules this year.
No, absolutely not.
It was a lot of falling apart. So I kind of sympathized with that referee who goes, you know what? Everybody's disqualified.
Get out. None of you can follow the rules. Get out.
So
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, two kids are they keep fighting over a toy, and the parent comes in and just takes the toy.
You
know, nobody gets it, and punts it out of the room or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how I feel, and I respect that ref.
All right.
Tag team championship goes to Axe and Smash of Demolition with
Mr. Fuji.
This is the match for that we get our yearly appearance of Tito Santana, because
now part of Strikeforce with Rick Martel. Which sounds like such an 80s name.
Mm-hmm.
Strike Force.
Da-da-da-da.
Like, it's going to be followed up by Top Gun.
Airwolf.
Airwolf? Okay.
Yeah. Do you not remember Airwolf?
What's Airwolf?
It was an 80s show about a super plane.
Of course. Why did I even ask? Because nothing was cooler in the 80s than something with Wolf in his title and airplanes.
Yep.
Or, excuse me, jets.
Yeah, no, of course it was a super jet. Jet.
Some regular plane like a Pansy? Lord, no.
No. Fine match. This is the thing.
Okay, I don't know about a fine match. It was a long match.
I mean, there's nothing to talk about this match.
It was a long match, but two Kiss wannabes.
Yeah. This is the thing is where
Joel excited, because Joel's a big Kiss fan.
Yeah,
so
I would like to interstate that I was not excited at this moment.
I only assume, because Joel is a Kiss fan.
I am a Kiss fan, but at no point did I look at those and like, I'm not caring for this match, but my deep-seated love of Kiss is driving me to be excited at this moment.
I mean, you know...
The point is, this is a very long match at a time that they don't need to have a very long match.
Yes. They could have done without this 15th match. Literally.
Yeah.
Could have done away with it. No, could have added to the main event.
Mm-hmm. They could have added a lot of stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is they go through so much to build this tournament. Time-wise, but not event-wise, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The event is stated very matter-of-factly. The matches are put on very matter-of-factly.
Yes.
And so I feel like if more time had been focused onto that, I didn't need this match. To be fair, it was a match for a championship that I didn't know or care about at the time.
Yeah.
I had no feud history with these guys. Maybe it's something that I would have a total different opinion about if I had that. But I don't. So, in the, history books, the way it looks, this match got stuck in there.
Pretty much. Because we all know that 10 years from now, we'll just be ranting and raving about that Demolition to Strikeforce match.
Yeah. And we move on to the main event.
Yes.
With Randall Savage and Ted DiBiase.
Yep. We got the guest announcer.
Uh-huh.
Which was Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
Who brought out Vanna White.
Vanna White of Wheel of Fortune.
Timekeeper, that's what she was.
Yeah.
And then brought out, what's his face with the title?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he came out with the title on a pillow. So we get to, like, this is a good match.
Yeah, it was fine, you know, it had a lot of story to it.
Yeah, part of the nice about this is some of the struggle I feel when we are doing these reviews is that I'm unfairly having complaints just because I don't know feud history.
Yeah.
I don't know how
these wrestlers are matched. But this one, they gave us plenty to work with.
Well, we had the whole night.
Well, yeah.
I had seen these guys, you know, go not at each other, but I'd seen both of their intentions, you know. I'd seen both of them have matches, have trials and tribulations, and how they dealt with it, with obviously Savage doing it honorably and DiBiase doing it not honorably.
Yes.
But I was more invested in this match just because of that.
Right, just with that simple all-night setup, which was what they were trying to do. Like, that was their point to get across.
Yeah.
You know, Ted DiBiase, you know, got through by, you know, DQs and all this other stuff.
Andre helped him. Andre was a huge entertainment in this match, though.
Yeah.
Because he kept sneaking, like, pulling...
pulling at Randy's leg.
Yeah.
Trying to be a distraction.
And he did it really subtly for being Andre the Giant. I didn't know Andre the Giant could do things subtly. But he does it really subtly.
He does.
And they do a really good job of getting the cameraman to catch him without getting the referee to catch him.
Right.
They're really starting to be able to do stuff like that. They're getting a handle on how to use those cameras to better the storytelling.
It's about time.
Yeah.
About time they learn how to use those pesky little cameras.
So, about halfway through the match, Elizabeth goes in the back and brings out Hogan.
Yep.
And then things turn sour for me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So Hogan comes up, hits Ted DiBiase with a chair, pretty much unprovoked. Like, you know, obviously he's not fully unprovoked. Andre was still messing with Randy.
Yeah.
But Andre stayed ringside the whole time.
Yeah, Hogan's response to that was completely unjustified by comparison.
Mm-hmm. There's very much a, you put one of, there's mine in the hospital, I put one of yours in the morgue situation here.
Right. That's very Godfather of you.
It's the Untouchables, but yeah, go ahead.
Close enough. Which fit into what we were saying about Donald Trump being a...
Oh, how everybody had to go and greet Donald Trump.
Yeah, like literally every special guest had to come by and shake Donald Trump's hand at ringside, like, you know, thank you for inviting me to this special occasion, Mr. Godfather, like, you know. May your WrestleMania be a masculine WrestleMania.
My point is, getting back to, you know, wrestling, my point is, Hogan, it does a very heelish thing. He interferes with the match, blatantly hits a guy who has not himself cheated.
Yeah.
For Randy Savage to win this match. And this is the match and the moment to put Randy Savage as the top guy. You know, as at least a top guy, if not the top guy.
Yeah.
But he's your champion. You're making Macho Man your champion of the entire company, and still Hogan is the guy who makes the crowd make the noise.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, going forward several years, it reminds me of Mick Foley's, or Mankind's, first victory.
Yeah.
And being this forever in the corner of Mick Foley, I'm a little bummed that Stone Cold had to come out and help him and basically secure the victory for him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I noticed the noise that the crowd makes when Stone Cold came out.
Yeah.
And no crowd before or since has made the noise that that crowd made when Stone Cold came out. And I can't blame them for that.
No, no, not at all.
And so it's the same way this time. I can't blame them for sticking Hogan in the main event, even when they're trying to tell this Macho Man story. Mm-hmm. Because Hogan's going to make the crowd make that noise.
Yeah, he's the one that the crowd's always going to want to see. Mm-hmm. As much as we hate it.
But he hit a guy with a chair.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is...
Hashtag not a face.
It, I don't know. It really got under my skin on this one. Especially because they then called Macho Man the undisputed champion. I'm like, no! I would like to dispute that here and now. There was clear interference on Hulk Hogan's part.
Right. And it's not even like, you know, because you're in favor of DiBiase. Or,
no! I'm in favor of the rules!
You apparently are the only one by you know, judging from this pay-per-view.
I know. This is the pay-per-view of the rules got pushed to the side.
Yeah. Which, so, you know, kind of set the tone for the rest of WWE's existence, really.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we'll use the rules when we want to, mm-hmm. when it benefits us.
Yeah.
And then we'll ignore it whenever it benefits us as well.
Yep. That
seemed like they really were playing with that.
You think they're testing the waters on this one?
I guess so.
If we just totally disregard the rules, what'll the... just cheering for Hulk Hogan? Okay, we're sold.
If you looked at, you know, clean finish, DQ, DQ, DQ. Like, if you looked at that, just by that aspect, you would have thought this was a TNA pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Alright, so, Chris.
Yes.
Ultimate question times. Has this done the goal of WrestleMania to improve on WrestleMania every year to be better than the last WrestleMania? Did WrestleMania 4 succeed in that goal?
Basically by beating out WrestleMania 3.
Yes.
No.
So...
I'm impressed with their ability to tell a story mm-hmm. throughout... One main story throughout the entire night.
The question, though, is...
But overall, no.
Is it possible to have beaten WrestleMania 3?
No. No, like, there was. I don't think there was any way they could have beat WrestleMania 3 that next year.
Yeah, so do you think WrestleMania...
Without putting on the same show.
Okay. So do you think WrestleMania 4 fell short in goals? Did they not do stuff they should have to make it... To get that, you know, idea of bigger, better than the last year?
And that was the thing. Like, I don't even think they were trying to.
Because they went this different way with the tournament?
Yeah. All
right.
It was something different, and I don't think they were even trying to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they were. They went an extra hour.
By that standpoint, yes. But from overall standpoint, just the magnitude of the event, this didn't have that same feel to it. Now, you know, the tournament, it felt like a bigger and bigger deal as the night went on.
Mm-hmm.
Would have liked a better finish.
Yeah.
With less... Hulk Hogan being not a face, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, it failed to live up to WrestleMania 3, but I don't think they failed to go to reach whatever goal that they were trying to reach.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, they weren't even trying to get to WrestleMania 3.
So, are you satisfied by that?
I was satisfied by it, yeah. Yeah, they knew what they were going after, and they stuck to it.
Well, that's fair. So, WrestleMania 3 is still your top WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Just, you know, by that one match quality and the build-up for Hogan and Andre. All
right. WrestleMania 4 is match of the night. Go.
I'm going to have to say Rick Rude and Jake the Snake.
All right. Fair enough.
I know, my first time not picking a Steamboat match.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, they have done that themselves.
Can you pick that Steamboat match that could have been on sheer potential if Steamboat had just won?
I wish I could have. I theoretically would.
Yeah.
If it theoretically happened.
Fair enough.
But it theoretically didn't.
Well, no, it actually didn't.
I'm sorry.
It did not theoretically.
It very realistically did not.
Correct. My match of the night would be DiBiase and Don Morocco.
Okay. Not a bad choice.
It was a fast-paced match. Both guys came out, put on their A game. There were some good spots in it. Clean mm-hmm. finish. I liked it.
Yeah, my only qualm, like I said earlier, about Rick Rude and Jake the Snake was that they both got disqualified.
Yeah,
they both got eliminated
in a tournament setting.
Yeah, that seems...
But that's the thing, like, other settings, I would have been fine. If this was just a singles match, because they have said that in previous things, is we have a 15-minute time limit on this match.
Yeah, they never went anywhere near it, but this is the only time that they actually met it.
But it's a tournament setting.
But it's like, yeah, you guys were both really good. But you're both done for the night. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's not how tournaments work.
No, it's not.
So, yeah.
There you go.
All right. Is that it for you?
That's it for me.
And that's it for me. All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.